Amen. We're in the celebration of the God of the More in 2024. I want to talk to you today about the fact that consistency is the key to the more. Going back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Shout this out. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask, think, or imagine. He is able to do more in your life. But to get there, you're going to have to understand the connection between consistency and the more in your life. We talk about words like continue. That word means to persist in an activity or a process, to be constant, steadfast, and basically be that way indefinitely. Look at somebody and say, indefinitely. It's the opposite of quitting. Consistency is the quality of always being, behaving, or performing in a similar way. You can think automatically of a scripture where it says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I what? I change not. We think about Jesus, who the Bible says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But one thing I've noticed is we ascribe that to God without thinking about how much he wants us to be like that as well. He wants us to be steadfast, consistent, and in him we can be. This is a quality that is lacking in millions of believers. They're saved, going to heaven, but their lives on this planet are not marked by steadfastness or consistency or continuing. They're marked by quite the opposite. That's why Paul told his son Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Turn to somebody and smile and tell them, continue in what you have learned. You know, anybody can get excited about a thought, about a message, about a theme. Anybody can say, wow, praise the Lord, God of the More in 2024. But are we still excited when we realize it's going to take consistency to get there? Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. I'll take an amen where I can get one. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5, Paul said this in verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. This thing trying to push you off course and trying to push you away from your faith and your belief and your confidence in God, push you away from being consistent and constant, that's not coming from God. That's coming from this world and all kinds of other influences. In Proverbs 24:16, Todd mentioned this earlier from the message, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. What happens when we fall? According to Micah 7:8, listen, don't gloat over me when I fall. I shall arise. Come on, say, when I fall, I shall arise. Righteous man does what? Will fall seven times and get back up again. But watch this, it speaks of the wicked being taken out by that calamity. They don't continue. They don't have consistency. They can't, in other words, to use the boxing metaphor, they can't take a punch. Look at somebody and smile and say, you need to learn how to take a punch. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. That was Paul's admonition to Timothy. It's a fight. I run into people all the time that are young in the Lord, and they're surprised they have to actually fight. Well, I'm under grace, and whatever God wants to do, he'll do in my life. I don't have any responsibility. No, grace was the front door into your faith. You're still supposed to be a doer of the word. There's never a situation where you don't have responsibilities for your own growth, for your own steadfastness, for your own consistency, for your own continuing in the things of God. In other words, it's in your consistency that lies the power. God revealed that to Sister Gloria years and years ago, that if you want to really see God move in your life, you got to be consistent. Shout it out. In my consistency lies the power. That's where you get the results. Not a couple days or weeks or months of serving God, but consistency all the way through what God has called you to do. In other words, the more is entirely up to us because we already know what God's perspective is. He wants to do the exceedingly what? More in our lives, but it's up to us. The exceedingly abundantly, the more is up to us. But guess what? So is the less up to you. I don't know about you, but more sounds better to me than less. Am I in the right church today? Do we still believe that God is the God of increase? I mean, you hear some people preach like God is dead and his principles are over, but God is not dead and his principles are not over, amen. They still work. And one of those principles, of course, is being consistent. James 1:25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, and some people do that for a season, but listen to what he says. They look into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. In other words, I'm not excited about the Word, not excited about a revelation, not excited about church, not excited about the things of God for a small season. I am over the long haul. You run into you in 30 years, should Jesus tarries, and I don't think we're going to be seeing 30 years, amen. That's entirely up to Him. But we want to see you still being constant, consistent, growing. And I'll tell you something else. If I'm able to see you consistent and constant and the track record I have right now, I'll probably still be here. I want to see you getting the results of being consistent and constant, all the blessings that go with that. I think about the Word of God and those who wouldn't quit and those who persevered and those who were constant and consistent and continued. I think about that woman with a back issue for 18 years. Thank God she never quit. She held on to her faith, and that faith attracted the Lord and ended up that she received. The same thing with a woman with an issue of blood. Amen. These people persevered. She had that for many, many years and spent all she had. Instead of getting better, she got worse, but she heard about a Savior, amen, and she pressed. Just the perseverance to leave her house and press through that crowd, you can see what her attitude was. Bartimaeus never said no more. Aren't you glad for that? There's some people in here, and you're tempted to say, that's it, no more, no mas, I'm done with this, I'm tired of this. But listen, even Bartimaeus knew not to say no more. And you know, Caleb, despite all the challenges, never said a thing like no more. When he was 80 years old, he still was convinced, I'm going to go take my mountain. And how many know when he got there, the enemies didn't say, Caleb, we feel sorry for you because you're stupid people that you're with. We're just going to give it to you. He still had to fight for that mountain 40 years later as an 80-something year old. Joseph, after all he went through, and boy, did he go through it. And don't let some false teacher tell you that Joseph was just being prepared, you know, by the Lord. The devil was trying to destroy the boy. And yet he never said, no mas. You know what? All I'm doing is walking around in my fancy smancy coat of many colors that my father gave me because he loves me. I share a few dreams, and the next thing I know, they throw me in a pit. No more. I'm done. That wasn't even the start of it. Then they sold him into slavery. Me, Joseph, the one with great coats and great promise, a slave now. Well, that wasn't the end of it. He's accused of a sexual assault and thrown in prison. And yet you never see Joseph say a thing like, no more. Look at somebody and tell them that should not be in your vocabulary. Look, if you want the more in 2024, you can't go around saying, no more, I'm done, that's it. Lose things like fed up in your vocabulary and start saying what God says about you. I know St. John the Baptist never said no more. And he could have for the things that he went through. Came close. Think about Paul and all that he went through. You know what he said? He didn't say no mas. He said none of these things move me. Amen. Come on, shout that out. None of these things move me. I'm going to be consistent. And how many around Easter season thank God that Jesus never said no more? Amen. They rejected me, they despised me, they tailbear on me, they show all kinds of offended behavior towards me. I do miracles in front of them. No mas. Or what when he was arrested and being cross-examined? Oh, that's it, I'm out of here. Beam me up, Scotty, I'm done with these people. No mas. Or when they were what? Beating him and putting the crown of thorns on him or strapped him and then, you know, crucified him on a cross. He says, no mas. If he had said no mas, we would still be in our sin today. Thank God for a Lord that never knew how to quit. Amen. And thank God that's our model today. Can I tell you something? We depended on him not to say that. And I'm telling you, there are people in this world that depend on you not quitting. You just don't always know it. Hallelujah. Moses spent decades refusing to say no more. Then one day, somebody say one day, he had it. God said, speak to that rock. And what did he do? And yet, when you think about Psalm 106, he did not get in trouble over a strike. He got in trouble over the words of his mouth. The Bible says rash words came from his mouth that did not honor and glorify God. Amen? He made it so far. And I'm not criticizing the boy. I probably wouldn't have lasted 6 months with those people. But look what he did lose. He gained ultimately everything. But after leading people all that time, he never got to see in the natural what Joshua got to see. You see, those who continue are the ones that get to see God's power. The Lord showed this to me many years ago from John 8 in verse 30. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. And how many know that's a great thing? But watch this. Believing and getting born again is not enough for you to see the manifested power of God in your life. It's not enough. Turn to somebody and say, it's not enough. He went on to say, if you hold to my teachings, there's the condition, then you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes, you've got to believe. You've got to have faith in Christ, and there are millions of Christians who are saved, but they experience very little of the more all their lives because they think that's all there is. Well, no, you've got to continue. You keep at it. You are consistent in the things of God. And watch this, that's what qualifies you as a disciple. I'm going to say this, and it's not all that nice to say, but I'm going to say it as it is true. Churches in America are filled with people who are not disciples. They are believers, they can even be born again, but they are not continuing, and you can't be a disciple till you have a track record of continuing. And remember Ben Priest's definition of a disciple, it's the best one I ever heard. A disciple is a self-disciplined learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is pulling you to learn, you are growing because you want to grow. So you believe, but that's not enough. You got to continue, and that qualifies you as a disciple. And guess who gets the revelation? The disciple gets the revelation. And when you get the revelation, you will know the truth, and it will set you free. No wonder so many people throughout the body of Christ, they're believers, they're going to heaven, but they live bound up lives because they never got to the place where they continued consistently in the things of God. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to be consistent, you got to continue, you can't give up, and you can't say no mas. Turn to somebody and smile, you got to learn to take a punch. What kind of punches do we take? Well, sometimes we take punches of conflict. You can't be a spiritual leader and not deal with things. You get punched. This life is not for the faint heart. It is not for the wimp. There's hefty, hefty bags and there's scent sacks. Amen. They're wimpy sacks. And there are sacks that can take it. And if you're going to live this life, you're going to deal with people, which means from time to time, things aren't going to go well. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have problems. Is that going to be enough to take you out? You're going to have some conflict and say no mas? I hope not. Sometimes it's a punch of a loss of a life, a loss of some dream, a loss of something good in your life. You have to be able to take the punch and then keep on going. For some folks, it's a punch of financial trouble, and there's a mess of it all the way through the land. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be punched out by financial trouble. You have a God that's well able to turn that situation around. He is the God that's called himself the Good Shepherd, and you will not want in Jesus' name. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He is your supply. Some folks, it's a punch of sickness, but that punch doesn't have to take you out. For some, it's a punch of persecution. You probably notice if you go and believe the uncompromised word of God and you're going to preach the uncompromised word of God, not everybody's going to stand up and clap. If you can't take some criticism, you will not be able to continue. Is that all it takes, is a little pushback to get you to shut up? No, you have to have titanium in your backbone. Can I have an amen? Amen. And know how to stand. The goal is not to be popular. The goal is to be faithful.
Amen.
Think about it. My good friend is with Jesus now, who was campus pastor here for years. The church had the honor of setting his stone in place out there in the cemetery. This is the best campus pastor in the world. And it doesn't say, well done, good and popular servant. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Good and? And you know what I found out? Yeah, there are some people who like it, but Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Say it, the goal is to be faithful, not popular. Sometimes it's a punch of discouragement, depression, despondency, things going on. You can't let that take you out. Sometimes it's a punch of temptation. I mean, okay, so you made some mistakes. Do what the scripture says. Get back up again. Aren't you glad he's a God of grace and mercy? He loves you. He doesn't want you to be defined by what you did wrong. He wants you to be defined by the truth of God's word, what he has for you. Thank you, Father. Sometimes it's a punch of accusation. I mean, you haven't lived until somebody's accused you of something horrible that you had nothing to do with. But that's life. Live long enough, somebody's going to say something stupid. You're either going to walk in forgiveness and mercy, or you're going to let that define you. Some folks, it's a punch of rejection. I believe that the root of rejection is one of the most powerful things that can control somebody, but it doesn't have to control you unless you let it. Keep telling yourself, yeah, they rejected me, but God didn't reject me. I want you to think about this for a minute. That man or woman rejected you, or those parents rejected you, or that son or daughter rejected you. Guess what? God did not reject you. God accepted you. What does that mean? It means that if God accepted you, those people are stupid. But you'd be amazed how many people live their lives, all their lives, even as Christians, taken down, amen, for the count because of the punch of rejection. So my goal today is just to encourage you how to overcome that no moss from coming on your life. And it's simple here. There's no, you know, special revelation. It's about discipline. Say that with me. Discipline. Say it again. Say discipline.
Discipline.
People don't even like that word. You even say the word in church and you get a holy hush. Discipline. The Father disciplines the one that he loves. Discipline is a sign that God actually loves you. But we're not talking about that type, you know, discipline. We're talking about you being disciplined in what you're doing so that you can enjoy the more. My mom said, well, how your dogs doing? I said, well, they're doing okay. I said, they're both a mess. I said, Hershey likes to lick things, couch, love seat, whatever. And I mean, he's not thirsty. I don't know if I need to take him to a doggy psychiatrist or what the deal is with that dog, but he licks. And so I said, Mom, what do you do with your dog? She goes, oh, I get a spray bottle and I shoot him in the face with it. And the good news is Hershey really hates getting sprayed in the face. So he growls at me and tries to run. The problem is I'm trying to discipline Hershey. Then Bluey jumps up because he likes it. Shoot me in the face, shoot me in the face, shoot me in the face. It's really hard to discipline Hershey when Bluey's trying to drink what I'm trying to shoot at Hershey.
Give me some more, give me some more, give me some more.
Say, discipline is good. Say, correction is good. So number one today, never stop seeking. You want to make sure that you are never a quitter. Never stop seeking God. Bible tells us those that seek him early will what? Find him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Remember what John said in 3 John 2? Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Acts 2:42, the Bible says the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They were steadfast. They were consistent. See, what I've learned is when you stop pursuing, you start ungluing. A lot of people are falling apart in the body of Christ because they stopped seeking God. And I'm not talking about what you do publicly. I'm talking about your own walk with God, seeking Him and continuing to seek Him. Glory to God. We basically implode when we neglect His presence. That's not something happening to you. That's a decision. Number two, never stop serving. Never stop obeying Him, working for Him, sharing His truth, witnessing, loving, forgiving, being merciful. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Shout that out. Serve the Lord, with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. When you stop obeying, you start decaying. Come on, say it. When I stop obeying, I start decaying. When? Immediately. Well, I can go weeks and months without obeying God, nothing will happen. I'm telling you, you're falling apart the first time you refuse to do what He tells you to do. And it gets progressive from there. Look at somebody and say, keep on obeying. You won't be decaying. Glory to God. And it's tough out there to always come down on the side of what God thinks about something. Dr. Barclay said this recently in the minister's conference. He said, some of you, and he said this prophetically, you still have venom in you that is there from the human bite. He said, you've got to get that out or it will cripple you. Anybody here ever been bit by a human being and somebody told you that human bites don't hurt? Well, first of all, they do. My mom was taking a child development class at Johnny Logan College in Carterville, Illinois, and some of her staff were doing the same thing. And this person, apparently with a PhD, but never actually worked in a daycare, asked the class, why do you think kids bite in a developmental program, in child care, you know, daycare or elementary school? And the lady insisted that the reason they bite is they want to taste each other. And what did you say? No, they don't. Why do they want to do it? Because they want something. They want what they want, and if they can't get it, what do? This is one of their responses. The genius says because they want to taste each other. Little bitty cannibals growing up, hallelujah. When you've been bitten, that poison goes in and it goes into your heart. And you need to do what Paul did when he was on that shipwrecked isle and he was bit by a viper after collecting sticks. It latched onto him, and what did he do? He shook it off. See, listen, I know that some of you are Taylor fans, but she didn't come up with that shake it off business. Amen. Paul did. She owes him some money. And she's got it to give. Turn to your neighbor and smile and say, shake it off. You got to keep on obeying or you'll start decaying. Say, I don't want to forgive. You know, they hurt me. They did that. They said this about me. They were ugly. Listen, it is not worth your more. Put it in a scale next to your more and ask you if that is worth, you know, fighting over and losing. And it's not. That's a devil's deception for us to trade God's best, to let that venom continue to flow in our veins, in our heart, in our lives. Powerful word, amen? It'll cripple you. James says there's poison in the human tongue, but it doesn't have to be that way. Yours can be what? A tree of life, glory to God. Say, my tongue is a tree of life. Live a life of love, a love-ruled life, a word-ruled life. That's what we're talking about, a spirit-ruled life instead of a flesh-ruled life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Instead of a circumstance-ruled life. Instead of an emotion-ruled life. You never heard any teaching on that before. In other words, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22. What is he saying? Hear, but then do. What is he saying? Continue. It's not enough to hear things. You need to continue in the things you've actually heard. And number three, never stop sowing. Never stop seeking. Never stop serving. Never stop sowing. Your time, your talent, your treasure. J.B. Phillips' translation puts it the best here. A man's harvest in life is determined solely or entirely by the seeds he has sown. One of the first things you'll want to do when you're getting ready to quit, when you're getting put out, when you're getting upset, is you'll stop sowing. Now, if you're here today, you really enjoy the back row. Praise the Lord. That's what it's there for. Everybody has different places where they sit. But when I see somebody who starts on the front row, and then it's the third row, and then it's the fifth row, and then it's the tenth row, and it's over by the light switches, there's only one place next to go, the bathroom. You hear what I'm saying to you? Long before, you know, you see other things happen, they stop sowing their time, their treasure, their ability in the things of God because they're about to what? They're about to say, no mas. No mas to this serving business. Who cares? No mas to this giving business. It never works for me. No mas to doing things for God. That's exactly what you want to stay away from. Shout this out. A man's harvest, my harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that I have sown. Said, I'm a sower, not a part-time planter. I don't look at the wind. I don't look at the clouds. I don't look at the conditions. I don't look at the circumstances. I sow. I keep on serving. I keep on investing my life, my time, my treasure, my talent. I keep on being a tither and a giver. Can I help you out here? Right now in America is not the time to stop sowing. Amen. Are you here today? Yes. I want to just point this out to you and encourage you today that you'll want to increase it. You don't want to serve less. You want to serve more. You don't want to give, you know, less time. You want to give more time. You want to give less of your material resources. You want to give more of your material resources. Why? Because the Bible says in Galatians 6, we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't say no mas. If in our hearts we don't implode because of all the pressure. When you stop giving, you cease living. And that's just the way it is. We are made in His image. God is the greatest giver ever and ever will be. And you and I are to be conforming to His image. Say, I choose to be a giver. You see, what happens is seeking will stop you from quitting. Serving will stop you from quitting. Sowing will stop you from quitting. Your mind is not on giving up. Your mind is going forward in Jesus' name. I think about a man named Elijah who definitely felt like quitting. Confrontation with the prophets of Baal and digging the trench and filling the trench up and watering the trench and calling down the fire and dealing with these prophets and then taking them on in armed combat. He was tired. Next thing you know, he's being threatened his very life for his victory, his spiritual victory by Jezebel. And it says in Kings, it says here in 1 Kings 19, in verse 3, Elijah was afraid when he got her message and he ran to the town of Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there, then walked another whole day into the desert. Finally, he came to a large bush and sat down in the shade. And listen, he begged the Lord, I've had enough. Elijah said, no mas. Look at somebody and say, no mas. That's not who we are. But he said, look, just let me die. I'm no better than my ancestors. Now, I'm not going to take a poll here today because most of you would lie anyway. So I'm not going to take a poll. But there are a lot of people at some point in your life, you said, I just want to go home. I'm just done. Listen to how quiet it's getting. We look at Elijah and we say, I can relate to that. A particularly bad season where, go ahead, Lord, I'm saved. Bring me up out of here. But you know what? You can't participate in his redemptive mission from up there. You have to be in here in an earth suit to be part of what he is doing. So that's the trick of the devil. You felt just like this man. And the key is to not let that be something that's sustained in your life. And I think about this, that there are three important principles I want to leave you with today, that when you feel like quitting, do this and do it sooner rather than later. Number one, retreat. Come away with the Lord by yourself. He ran and distanced himself, but he also put himself in a position to hear from God. Now, I remember going to the Lutheran church as a kid, and we went on family retreats and we had youth retreats. And then I heard some people talking, some geniuses in the faith, saying, we don't retreat, we only go to advances. Someone that would say that has never been in a battle. Because there are times you do need to retreat. The Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he prayed. He told his disciples, come away from me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The Bible says, he that waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There are times when you do need a personal retreat. And those in our lives should respect that need. It's far better than somebody to get that retreat than to implode. We're spiritual beings, but guess what? We also live in a body. You have a mind, will, emotions. If we were just spirit beings, our flesh wouldn't affect us at all. But I'm telling you, if that man of God can get so wore out, he's at the point of saying, God, just take me out of here. It could happen to anybody of precious faith. But what did he do? He retreated into God's presence. Number two, refresh. He needed refreshing of his mind, his body, and his spirit. And their angels were there preparing him a meal and encouraging him to rest. You know who the angels are in the Church of Jesus Christ? There are real angels. Of course there are. Amen. They're here with us right now. They're protecting you. Say that with me. They protect me from my stupidity every week. Aren't you glad for that? Can I tell you who the practical angels are day by day? It's the hands of the body of Christ. To help feed each other, help encourage each other, help strengthen each other. You need to be refreshed. The Bible says in Acts that when we repent, then times of refreshing can come. You saying, I want to go home, in direct opposition to God's will for you to be here, means your heart's not right.
That's true.
Suicidal people, it's very simple. You're out of the will of God. You want to leave. He needs you to stay. The key is not to check out by your own hands. The key is to let the Lord refresh you in the meat of his word. Amen. And the drink of his spirit and be refreshed in that situation. Now, some of you have already crossed that threshold. And thank God, by the grace of God, you're here today. You didn't quit. Come on, say it. I didn't quit. Shout it out. I'm not going to quit. Say it with a smile. I'm not going to quit. But you have been at a threshold where you could have, and you didn't. And we praise God for you. Some of you have never had that experience. These principles will help you. When you get to that place of you're ready to throw in the towel in the ring and say, no mas, retreat. And refresh. Amen. And number three, refocus. Why should I refocus? Because God still has a plan for you to accomplish. This prophet still needed to anoint a successor king. He still needed to mentor a prophet. He had work for him to do. He has work for you and for me to do. And in his presence, you can put your mind back on what God is saying to do instead of all the problems and the hardship and how bad you feel physically, mentally, and emotionally. There comes a time we learn to be consistent and constant and continuing no matter how we feel. Lester Sumrall one time knocked on the door of Smith Wigglesworth And when Smith Wigglesworth answered the door, Slimerall said, "How you feel? How you doing, Brother Wigglesworth?" And with that booming voice, he said, "I don't ask Brother Wigglesworth how he's doing. I tell him." Amen. And that's a lesson for you and for me. You know, you're like, "No, I feel this, I feel that." You don't have to run by how you feel. No matter what your body is doing, your mind is doing, your emotions are doing, there is still something for you to accomplish. Believe it or not, there are still great things inside of you. There are people He wants you to reach, especially in these last days. When you're feeling like Elijah, when you're getting to that place, practice the principles that He has left behind. Look at somebody and tell them, retreat, refresh, refocus, and get back at it. Can I have an amen? Turn to somebody and tell them, get back at it. Paul was able to say to Timothy, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept my faith." He's telling Timothy, "You are going to do the same thing, my son. You are not going to quit. You're not going to ask God to beam you up when you're not done." Come on, shout it out. No mas is no longer in my vocabulary. Say it. I am experiencing the more in 2024. Oftentimes we will say, "I cannot be defeated." And I what? I what? Amen. This boxer could have used that phrase that day. "I cannot be defeated" is a spiritual truth. Why? Because we have the victory in Christ. We've been made more than conquerors. Said, "I am more than a conqueror. I'm victorious." "I cannot be defeated" is a spiritual truth. "I will not quit" is a spiritual choice. And you make it every single day of your life, no matter how bad things are going. Now, I just want to just wrap this up by saying this. Sometimes, and I think you're seeing this more and more and more in the end times, God is orchestrating and weaving in our services. God is interested in impressing your heart upon truths that you can take with you. And one of the things that Todd said, he said, you can serve your disappointment, but you can't serve your disappointment and serve God. And an awful lot of people think they're serving and seeking God, but what they're really doing is serving all the terrible things that have happened to them. That's where their minds go. That's where their emotions go. That's where all their labor goes. That's where all their emphasis goes, to serving that thing other than God. And it's very, very subtle. And to be perfectly frank with you, when you're a spiritual leader, that temptation is probably greater than anybody else in the church. We have to make up our mind. We aren't serving those things. We're going to do what? We're going to serve the one who died for us. Glory to God. Listen to this from Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. "But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel." How many believe that God in Christ is reconciling the world? But your reconciliation won't take unless you continue. Say it, "I'm going to continue. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stand and not fall. And if I ever fall, I shall what? I shall what? I shall arise." Now, you know, you and I have been tempted. Maybe on the inside we said the same thing. And no doubt, again, if I took a poll, we'd probably have an overwhelming response of people who inside at one point or another said, "No mas." Unfortunately, for Roberto Duran, he did it in front of millions of people. Amen. It's very important you understand this, that you are here by design, that God truly has the more for you in 2024, but the key to that is consistency. Shout that out one more time. In my consistency, lies the power. I don't care where you go, anywhere in the body of Christ. I don't care even what faith tradition you go to. You want to find somebody who's accomplished anything, it's because they were consistent. Pat Robertson, I believe, went to a bank with $2 to his name, asking to buy land worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars with nothing except $2. Bold enough to go there. And you know what happened? The banker agreed to partner with him. And then the banker said, aren't you going to want a checking account? And he said, yeah. He goes, well, the charge for the checks is $5. He started CBN and Regent University, $3 in the hole. And God has used that place to change the landscape of this country. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Jerry Falwell started with VHS tapes in his church when he started a school named Liberty. VHS tapes, sending them out from the church so people could not just go to school there, but around the world. Today, there are almost 130,000 students enrolled at Liberty right now. Don't you think these men had chances and opportunities to quit?
Sure.
Nothing is accomplished with an attitude that says, well, if it gets hard enough, you know, difficult enough, I'll just quit. Turn to somebody and tell them, I cannot be defeated.
I cannot be defeated.
And I will not quit.
And I will not quit.
Say it, I'm not done yet.
I'm not done.
Say it again, I'm not done yet.
I'm not done yet.
Come on, stand and give him a hand clap if you can receive that today. Glory to God.